Yesterday, we went to Uvalde, Texas, to celebrate our great-nephew's graduation. And our nephew was saying that everyone kept asking him, are you going to be okay, that this is your last one? You're going to have an empty nest. What are you going to do? Are you going to be okay? And he said, you know, Cheryl, this is what I've wanted for them the moment that they were born. To grow up and be the wonderful young people that they are, and to go into the world and start their own lives. So yes, it's hard, but we have to say thanks and praise God for the work that these young people have done and are going to do. So I'm trying to take that approach. It's what I wanted for each one of you. The first moment that I met you. Some of you as toddlers, and some of you as elementary kids, and some of you as high school kids. I've wanted to see you grow into amazing young adults and go out and take love into this world. There's a story that I love, and forgive me if you've heard it before, but I'm not going to read the whole story. I'm going to give you my own paraphrase. But Gordon McKenzie, in his book Orbiting the Giant Hairball, tells the story that before you were born, God comes to you in the very womb and tells you all that's about to happen, the whole birthing process, and then hands you a canvas and asks you one thing. Will you paint me a masterpiece? After your birth, someone snatches that canvas away from you to hold on until you're ready. Because they just can't think that you can start that early. And as you get a little older, they give you your canvas back. But you know what? On that canvas, there are pencil marks of a painting. And they give you the colors to paint in each of the areas. A paint by number, if you will. If you do it correctly, you'll have a masterpiece. What most of us figure out too late in life is that that paint by number that's offered by the world isn't really a masterpiece. It's a cheap imitation. But what I've seen in each one of you over these years are young people who have already started to recognize the importance of painting your own masterpiece. Not filling in someone else's version of what a masterpiece should be. Bradley, you're the most recent to come into our youth group. And you came into this youth group like a whirlwind of fresh air. No hesitation whatsoever, getting in here and getting to know everyone. Not just the few kids you go to school with, but the other youth, the adults in this congregation who worked around you and with you. You brought laughter and energy and a true willingness to be vulnerable with us. I've loved our meals out or grabbing a soda, and your willingness to ask me hard questions. Questions and your openness with your faith journey. You have an amazing ability to change the tone of a group, and watching the way you loved and care for people who were having a tough time was nothing short of inspirational. Hannah, you walked into this church as a middle schooler. You walked in with friends, and immediately everyone who met you loved you. Your warmth and sincerity made us all so comfortable around you. Then before too long, you found yourself in the midst of a tragedy. And rather than run, you let us open our arms and put them around you and walk with you. You let us be your church. And then you shared your mom with us. And you let us be her church too. Hannah, you listen to people like there are no other people on this earth. You look people in the eye, and you listen, and then you smile, and it makes everyone that talks to you feel loved and safe. I've watched you pitch in and clean up some pretty yucky things And I've seen you create a beautiful flower bed. I've seen you love people in need. And I'm constantly amazed at how our Chick-fil-A cravings are in sync. We run into each other there a lot. Eric, you've been a true, quiet, gentle giant to me. Through camps and mission trips, I've watched you year after year. I've watched you without complaint or reaction take on whatever task was asked of you. Serving, cleaning up, going to activities that I know you weren't really interested in, but you stuck with the group and you went. Walking the streets of San Francisco last year, I kind of stood behind as we would walk, and I would watch you talk to each person individually. And you connected in your own quiet way with every person. The way that you are willing to wait on people at the breakfast each day was beautiful. Cade, you're one of those I've known since you were a wee one. I still picture you sitting in chapel every Wednesday morning. I watched you grow in our day school, and I heard stories from your grandmother. I've watched you around your cousins and around your siblings, watching you your whole life. Family has been at the top of your list. Watching you playing sports, it's been fun hearing the stories, but always it involved family. Either family watching you or you going fishing with your dad or your uncle. You're golfing with your cousins or your sister. I don't know if you realize it, but it's an amazing thing to be a senior in high school and want to be around your family as much as you do. Watching you and your golf, watching the way you and your granddad connected and spent time together. I noticed you put him down as your number one coach. I've watched their faces when they've talked about time with you. And it's an amazing gift for you to give of yourself, not only to your parents and your siblings and cousins, but to your grandparents. Tessa, I guess I have to say that I met you first. Before almost everyone in this room, I met you on my second visit to Austin, and I'll never forget you standing behind your mom's leg. You were a little thing, but you were already mostly grown up, and you already had an infectious laugh. I watched you keep your friends and me laughing through many a camp. We've been on many trips together, and I can't tell you how many musicals and choir rehearsals we've been through. I do remember one time, I have to tell this, Tessa and her friend Sophie, Wednesday nights, could not stop talking. And I promised them both if they could go, I think it was 30 minutes without talking, that I would take them both to get ice cream afterwards. And I had to take them across to Baskin Robbins. It was the quietest Wednesday night I think we ever had. I guess my favorite memories, though, has to be the fifth grade trip to Galveston and us singing Wicked all the way there and all the way back. Remember, Kristen? Where's Kristen? You remember. We sang it all the way there. Laughter. You've given me a lot of joy and laughter in the last 15, 16 years. The things that I've seen in each one of you and every one of you is that you haven't been tied to the instructions on the paint by number. You each pulled out your own brushes and you've dipped them in neon yellow and ultramarine blue and crimson red, and you've begun painting the most vivid masterpiece imaginable. My prayer for each one of you is that you keep painting your own work, Don't let this world try and pull you back into the lines that limit you, but explore and express and continue to praise the one who gave you the canvas in the first place. And ask for you to begin a masterpiece. And I hope you know and will always know that we will always be your home. And no matter where you go or what you do, you have people here who will love you and pray for you.